The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Who's in here disconnecting the headphones?
Good thing we were on Facebook.
That was Jason Rantz.
Was Curly
Rantz
here today?
Jason.
Jason was in for Curly?
Yes.
Where's Curly?
No, more importantly, you were running in here, switching up the channels on the TV. Meanwhile, the opening.
We got to have a little basketball going, so I'm turning on the basketball. Oh, by the way, we're streaming on Facebook Live, coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Yeah, no, I got to get the NCAA tournament on, and then I'm rushing back here to get on the mic, and the headphones are unplugged. Crying out loud.
But the good news is, it's Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this Durkin thing that you were just... Let me get right to the big lead here.
The big lead. Top story.
Okay, so Jenny Durkin... I just heard our reporter, Aaron's piece. Durkin now wants to reach out to the guy who got snubbed at the city council meeting.
Yeah, that video has been seen now more than a million times. Well, it's gone viral.
Yes, and we broke the story. The guy who got snubbed, he emailed me last Friday. He said, take a look at what happened to me. And so I went to the Seattle channel. I pulled the video. We got the audio. We broke the story. And then we talked to Richard a couple of days ago. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this guy goes to the city council meeting. And he is completely snubbed by the council members during the citizen comment. You get 2 minutes. So you have these citizens who go down to City Hall. It's a hassle to get to downtown Seattle. And ironically, what Richard wanted to talk to them about is how they have completely disengaged the public. They are just doing the, you know, he wasn't going to say all this. But, you know, it's clear that the city council has been bought and paid for by developers and contractors. And that's all they care about. So the homelessness, this upzoning, they just do the bidding of these contractors. So we break the story. It's our exclusive. And now we hear that Jenny Durkin wants to talk to the guy. Do you think Jenny Durkin calls Nicole to get the number? Because they know that we broke the story on this show. No, Jenny Durkin's staffer talks to another media person in town.
A friend.
And who, I guess, knows that this media person, it was Brandy. They know that Brandy's friends. And so then Brandy says, well, I can contact Nicole to get the guy's number. Why wouldn't Durkin's office just call us?
I can't imagine.
Well, I mean, doesn't this illustrate the problem? Because I disagree with her on stuff. Because I've pointed out what a phony robot she is, you know. But then they need something from us. They want something. They go through somebody else.
Well, Brandy offered, so I'm not. So I will be fair to that. Brandy offered to text me for that number
because she's also following the story. Yes. She's also doing the story,
right?
And Brandy was able to get a quote from the mayor about the video and. When they said they've tried a couple numbers for him that didn't seem to work, she said, well, I know somebody that's talked to him, so I'll reach out.
But after everything you have said and the words you've described the mayor with, would you, if it were you, would you come on the show?
Yes, I would.
Maybe come on the show, but would you ask for a favor? I don't know.
I just, look, this illustrates what was in that video. And if you're not familiar with the video, you know, let me play you a little bit of what happened at the city council meeting, because this guy, Richard, he goes down to City Hall. He wanted to talk about how they are not engaging the public, that they've cut the public out, and they're supposed to be public servants. And so when he starts talking, here's a little bit. Boy, Jason goofed up everything. Here's a little bit of what went down as he tried to speak at the city council meeting.
Next is Richard Schwartz.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Okay, now, in the video, you can see that every single person on the council is either on their phone, on their laptop, on an iPad. None of them are looking at this guy. They're all down in their electronic devices. Now, this is a, they get 2 minutes to talk. They work for us. But this city council, they think that they are royalty. And they think that we are their slaves and they are our masters. And as I've said, if you have an employee-employer relationship, can you imagine talking to your boss or having a meeting with your boss, and while he or she is talking to you, you're down texting somebody on the phone? You would never do that. But the city council, with their royal attitude, they have no problem doing that. And so right as Richard gets up to talk, he notices this, that everybody's head is down.
Before you start the clock, could you stop it for a second? It's real discouraging to come up here and see all the heads down. It's like, you know,
sir, you're on a 2 minute timer here, so let's go.
Let's Deborah Ward. Let's go. Let's go. Do our bidding. We're going to give you 2 minutes. And just as snotty as can be, Deborah Juarez, who needs a property tax hike so she can return library books late. She was the I'll be first in line for amnesty when we hike everybody's property taxes so we can waive late fees at the library. Yeah, she can't get a library book back on time. But, man, I tell you what, you try to take up 2 minutes of her time during public comment, she is going to just treat you like a little snot.
I'm not following you.
You're on a 2 minute timer.
Could you start it over, please?
No, we're not going to. Just go ahead.
No, we're not going to.
So it was unreasonable for you to ask that people look up and give me their attention?
Sir, you have 2 minutes. We're all looking at you. You have 2 minutes. Now you have a minute and 30 seconds.
So they're just treating him with disdain, disgust. He dared ask for their attention. Would you, I get all the way downtown, I have to walk through the stench of the vagrants, and you give me 2 minutes to talk, and they're texting and emailing and not paying any attention at all. So what's the point? What's the point of any... And that's ironically what he was going down to talk about.
Okay, well, I guess I won't be able to say it.
Because he had written out 2 minutes worth of stuff that he wanted to say about how they are not engaging the public.
Last week, you limited, this kind of goes to the heart of what I was going to talk about, which was the state of our democracy. Last week,
Did you hear that one there? When he says, well, this goes to the heart of what I was going to talk about. I think it's Juarez who just, she gives out a big, huge sigh. Listen again.
This kind of goes to the heart of what I was going to talk about, which was the state of our democracy.
Right there. You're boring me. Can I go back to texting? Can I go back to playing a game on my phone? I mean, just that disdainful sigh, audible sigh into the microphone. It's disgusting.
This kind of goes to the heart of what I was going to talk about, which was the state of our democracy.
Listen,
last week, you limited speakers because of the number of speakers to 1 minute each, but you allowed...
And then right there, after the... then one of them pours a glass of water. We'll do other stuff. You go ahead and yap away, citizen. We'll pretend for 2 minutes that we care about what the people have to say here.
You limited speakers because of the number of speakers to 1 minute each, but you allowed...
this couldn't have been choreographed any worse for the council. The sighing, the snotty tone, the pour in the glass.
Camilla Jayapal to speak as long as she wanted to. It was 4 or 5 minutes. And it reminded me of George Orwell's famous saying from Animal Farm about how all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Another glass pour! 2 times! Man, they're thirsty. That is the thirstiest city council imaginable. But he's right. You get a Democrat politician up in front of them? Oh, they're all lasered in on Pramila Jayapal. They're just staring at her and transfixed, mesmerized, because it's one of their own. It's not some citizen, not some of the filth that pays our salaries. When Jayapal's there, we're all eyes, all ears. And, oh, they weren't thirsty when Jayapal was talking. They weren't pouring water. They weren't playing with their iPads.
Famous saying from Animal Farm about how all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel like I'm being treated now, just because I was kind of asking for your attention. Like, I noticed you all were very attentive to Ms. Jayapal last week. And I just wanted to ask for your attention before I started. And I immediately got a hostile response back from you. I don't understand that. So you don't ever respond to citizens, or what's...
I do, sir, but you have 2 minutes for public comment to the agenda items.
Well, it's all on tape, and I think it's a pretty sad commentary that you think that asking for you guys to look up off of your computers and give attention during this short period of time was an unreasonable thing. I really feel bad about that.
Thank you. Who's next?
He's next. Okay, we put up with you for 2 minutes. Okay, so like I said, Richard contacted me last Friday, and it was cool because Richard says he doesn't agree with me on pretty much anything, politically, socially. He's a Seattle progressive. But he's a nice man. And I liked having him on, and I appreciate that he reached out to me with this. So we got him on the show. And he said that he wasn't the only one treated like that.
Tell me what you saw with all the tops of their heads as they sat at the podium before you.
Okay, well, just briefly, I was going to kind of try to compare how a lot of progressives are concerned about Trump is kind of corroding democracy. And it got to me, I got to thinking that the way that my community, and I'm sure other communities, have been treated by city officials, which is a lot of times just... you make an inquiry and you just get no response at all, is really corrosive as well to democracy, because what it does is people say, well, sure, they don't even respond to me, so I guess it doesn't bother, matter, and so I'm just going to stop participating, which of course is not good for democracy.
No,
so
great.
When I so when I got up there, and that was the topic I intended to speak on, I saw the tops of their heads, and I've been to a few meetings before, and that's kind of the way it always is. So I thought, well, this is another example of kind of what I came to talk about, so maybe I'll mention it. And so I just asked, and I asked very politely, I thought, if they could look up and give me their attention for my 2 minutes of time.
Yeah, and that's how he was treated by the Seattle City Council. I mean, this is a despicable group of people. And he made a good comparison when he and I talked.
These city council members who supposedly are working for you and me, it's tolerable from them? I thought that's why I thought you made such a fantastic point with what you said.
It's kind of interesting that you raise that point, because in my follow-up email that afternoon to Ms. Juarez, I actually made that similar point. I asked rhetorically, if she was, I didn't know if she had children, but I said, if you had children and you were trying to talk to them and they were playing with their devices, would you consider that to be appropriate? Would you allow them to keep doing that? And I was hoping maybe I'd get some response to that, but I didn't.
Yeah, because we have politicians who think they're royalty. They have been completely bought off by developers and contractors. They do not think that citizens' opinion, whether it's, you know, where they put one of those homeless encampments and crime skyrockets around those, and you're worried about your neighborhood, screw you. They couldn't care less about your opinion. You get upset at, you know, they want to put tolls on every road. Screw you. We got money to get. And that's the way they treat everybody. So then I find out a half hour ago that Jenny Durkin wants to talk to this guy, and her office can't even pick up the phone and call Nicole. Why? Because I criticized the mayor, apparently. They just won't talk to to our show because I'm such a critic of government. Well, I'm a critic of government because the way you treat people stinks. And the way you treat people has led to the decrepit state that our region is in. And I'm not just talking about the city council. I mean, Q13 News had a story a couple nights ago. They tried to talk to the mayor. They contacted every city council person. They contacted everybody on the county council. And I think Kathy Lambert was the only one who would talk to them. They won't even respond to the media. And I'm not talking about just my show. Yeah, I get it. They don't like my show. I illustrate how horrid they are. But they won't talk to other media. Why? Because presenting things honestly, factually, journalistically, like Eric Johnson did at Channel 4 with Seattle is Dying, it just illustrates what a failure they are. But, yeah, I got pretty ticked off when I found out that Durkin's office wouldn't call Nicole to get this guy's phone number. They have to go through Brandy. I know, Brandy offered it. Brandy was talking to the mayor. So I guess the mayor talks to Brandy.
Well, did you read the statement from the mayor? I don't think we've got to that yet.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that. I'm all fired up about all this other stuff. Okay, Brandy tweeted, while the Seattle Council has yet to address your concerns about this video, Mayor Jenny Durkin did send her thoughts. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got from my mom, she told me to listen. I believe that listening is the most important. Okay, Madam Mayor, come on my show. Listen to me. I'll tell you where you can improve. I'll tell you what I think as a lifelong Seattleite, as a watchdog of government. You want to listen? Come on. Come on in. I have lots of things to tell you. Have you asked the mayor lately to come on?
Not lately, but what? Don't. I am Let's today.
Do
so
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. I told Brandy to put in a good word for us.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Then I said, I'll understand if you don't.
Why didn't you trade coming on the show? Although it'd be horribly boring to have her on the show. But why didn't you trade Richard's phone number for a show appearance? We should have bartered.
Mm-hmm.
We got to haggle.
Mm-hmm. I'm very professional, Dory.
What? That would be appropriate. You want his phone number? Come on the show. I'll give it to her on the air.
I'm going to mention that I provided that information. Maybe she would like to come on.
Did you already... So you gave his phone number to Brandy, and Brandy gave it to the mayor's office.
That's correct. I talked to Richard about it first. I did get approval.
Wow. Well, okay.
We'll see. You don't. Maybe she'll come on this time. I'm waiting.
Well, she owes us now. We got her a citizen.
There you go.
And by the way, how can the mayor of Seattle not be able to find the phone number of a citizen resident of Seattle? That's weird.
I'm not sure, but I do know that there was a couple numbers tried and they didn't work. And you know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
They don't
Richard
have...
has a good old landline, too.
I know.
So you'd think they could find it.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He disagrees with me on everything, but wanted us to spread the word about the council meeting. So
maybe my favorite part of that story is that he listens, although he disagrees with most,
yeah.
But he still believes in the same, I don't know, dream.
Okay, you know what? I was so fired up about this Durkin thing, I didn't get to the rest of the big lead. So let me take a quick time out, and then we will continue with the big lead right after Ursula checks the news as we get rolling. We are rolling on a Friday afternoon. You know, that is huge news that ISIS is done in Syria. And, man, I wish that President Trump would just shut up about McCain, because you know, there's the CNN poll that came out this week 71% of the people think the economy's in good shape. The vast majority of those give Donald Trump the credit for the great shape the economy's in. And ISIS has been rolled out of Syria. The two things that are most important for a president, the economy and keeping us safe. And Donald Trump is a great president by those measures. And then he talks about McCain. Just focus on Syria, the war against terror. You are doing a great job. Focus on the economy, the unemployment rate, especially for minority groups. Historically great. The future, people have more optimism about our economic future than ever before. And by those measures, and I know this makes people's heads explode, by those measures, Donald Trump's a great president. The economy and keeping us safe. But, geez, the fact that it's just weird that he can't keep his yap shut about John McCain and just have some sense of dignity there. And because that's, I mean, even the hardcore support. Although, one thing about that, it is also weird how the media just adores John McCain now. Because I was at the 2008 convention when he was running against Obama, and he was the devil incarnate. According to almost everybody in the media, he's a racist. They couldn't stand him because he was going up against Obama. And now all of a sudden, John McCain is the favorite maverick Republican ever because Trump's trashing him. And, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, I guess. So it's another example of how the media just...
And also, I mean, Trump's response to that is that people keep asking him about McCain.
Yeah,
and he refuses to say no comment.
I know. We'll play the audio in Fastest 15 because he and Maria Bartiromo went on about that yesterday. And I know that's his defense. But so they ask about him, and you don't trash him. You don't. Although he doesn't like him, and he's never held his tongue on anything. So, but it is weird how the media just, you know, has canonized McCain because I saw how he was treated when he was running for president. And, geez, I couldn't say enough horrible things about the man back then. Okay, let me continue with our big lead.
The big lead, big local.
We got the breaking news during our show yesterday, about 2:30, that the cop killer in Kittitas County is an illegal. And Jay Inslee, and this is another thing that I'll criticize local media. I got a ton of friends in local media. But the fact that nobody seems to be tying this to Jay Inslee having blood on his hands, it's amazing to me. Because as I mentioned yesterday, Mike Huckabee, when he was governor of Arkansas, he gave clemency to Maurice Clemens, who then came up to Washington and murdered four Lakewood police officers as they sat in a coffee shop. And again, everyone tied that murder to Huckabee, as they should have, because Huckabee's clemency led to the death of those cops. But the same media that didn't mind roasting Huckabee, and I did as well. I said that day that I like Huckabee on issues. I would never vote for him for president because his decision led to the murder of police officers. Well, similarly, and I guess I'm the only consistent person because I can criticize Huckabee when he leads the murder of cops, and I'll criticize Inslee when he leads the murder of a cop. But when you have prided yourself on being a sanctuary state, when Washington has the most illegals per capita of any state in the country, and I told you yesterday, and I've told you many times why that is. It's money and power. You get federal dollars based on your population and the population of citizens and illegals. And you get congressional apportionment based on your population. And so, well, we got so many illegals here. Washington actually has an extra congressional seat because of the illegals here. There are a few states that have extra seats because of illegals. And then there are seats, states that have lost a seat because they don't have illegals. And so money and power, because an extra congressional seat in Washington probably means another Democrat in Congress. So we'll just attract as many illegals as possible. Well, this murder of the cop, Juan Manuel Flores del Toro, he was an illegal, confirmed by ICE yesterday. And some people said to me, well, he came into the country legally on an agricultural visa. And then when that expired, he just stayed. So what would a wall do for that? That's not my point at all. What's the best place to be an illegal? A sanctuary state. And that's why this guy was in Washington. Because we're a sanctuary state. He wasn't in Kansas or Missouri. He was here in Washington. And you know, it's like the guy in California who stabbed the woman 9 times, the illegal, a couple of weeks ago. He was in a sanctuary city. And sanctuary policy attracts illegals. And when those illegals murder and rape, then we should tie that directly to the politicians. And I'm talking about Inslee and Bob Ferguson, Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin. I mean, it's everywhere. They want to attract as many illegals as possible. And when those illegals kill, let me just play one soundbite from Inslee. This is when he was announcing he's running.
While other places close their borders and fear the unfamiliar, we are the state that opens our communities to immigrants and refugees seeking safety, shelter, and sanctuary.
Okay, so Inslee wants to attract. I got a text from a police officer friend of mine last night who read my post about Inslee being tied to this cop's murder. He said, spot on. As a cop, dad, and husband, I am furious with Inslee and Ferguson. My brother's blood is on their hands. And he's absolutely right. I know how cops feel about this. And Jay Inslee has a dead cop's murder on his hands. And he should be held accountable for this. And we got lots more to come. I'll just roll an entire hour of Big Lead stories. Up next, more on the Dory Monson Show. Getting lots of feedback from you on the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. If you want to reach out to us, and from the 253, Dory, I totally agree with you about Inslee having blood on his hands, but it's too bad. He probably doesn't even care and not losing 1 ounce of sleep over it. Nah. No. We're all just residual damage in politicians striving for money and power. We're collateral damage. It doesn't matter at all. Well, Seattle City Council, they don't care about any of us. They displayed that with how they treated the citizen. Inslee doesn't care. He's got a White House to pursue. It's sickening. Yeah, but I do wonder. That's a great point by the listener. I wonder if Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson, if they lost 1 second of sleep last night, knowing that an illegal who comes to our state because we're sanctuary, because this is the best place in the country to be an illegal, most generous. I wonder if they thought, our policy is directly tied to a dead police officer. Does that cross their mind? It's just amazing. It's amazing. I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I endorsed things that led to the deaths of the most noble among us. I will never understand how politicians' heads work. Never. Okay, I'll just do a full hour of big lead stuff here.
The big lead. Your tax dollars at work.
Saw this headline. Revenue forecast brings good news for Washington lawmakers. And they have a surplus in the state budget. $861 million. I want you to think about this. You go to Albertsons. You buy a gallon of milk. $2.99. And you go to the register and they go, it'll be $7.99. You go, no, it's $2.99. And they say, we're just going to keep it. You know, give us the, you discover walking out of the store that they overcharged you by $5. And then you go back in and they say, no, we're just going to keep it. You overpaid us. Why do we accept that from government? Why in Olympia, they are obsessed with raising taxes. They want an income tax. That's their everything for Democrats in our state, is an income tax. Instead of having to fight off an income tax, they should be debating what taxes they're going to cut to refund us our money that we have overpaid them. But they've got tens of billions of dollars in proposed tax increases in this legislative session, but they have overbilled us by $861 million. Revenue forecast brings good news for Washington lawmakers. No, revenue forecast brings bad news for Washington taxpayers. We're getting screwed once again. And one of the quotes in this AP story was a Democrat in Olympia who said that they're still facing a budget crunch because of overspending. Not because of us not giving them enough. We'll check the news and then the fastest 15 next.